Saturday, August 24th, it all begins again. The ecstasy.
Richardson Stadium comes alive. Alex freaking is hype. I'm hype. I love football.
The exhilaration.
And there he goes. That man is bad. That man is fast. And he is up over the 50, still on his feet.
The heartbreak.
And Laurier wins on an absolute heartbreaker at Richardson Stadium.
The pain.
No!
All part of a long journey to football immortality for the Queen's Gaels. And on Saturday, August 24th, in Windsor, Ontario, it all begins again. 3:45 p.m. pregame show, 4 p.m. kickoff, and there's only one place you can catch all the action.
This is Queen's football on CFRC.
Turn up the fun with Kingston Frontenac Public Library's summer reading programs. Free and open to all ages, with the chance to win great prizes like Stanley tumblers, Lululemon bags, gift cards, and a Nintendo Switch. Make this summer one for the books. Register now at kfpl.beanstack.com.
August is Black Philanthropy Month. We're calling all active citizens to join in on this global Black Philanthropy Initiative. This special fundraising effort assists the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals for Black-serving nonprofit organizations. Tackle issues close to home, from poverty to quality education, gender equality to economic growth. Individuals and businesses can participate in this fundraiser, internationally administered by Support Black Charities. Visit global-bpi.org to learn more and spread the message. Donate today at global-bpi.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Kingston Curator here on 101.9 FM CFRC. CFRC Arts Coordinator Lauren Tucker here, and I'm very happy to be your host, bringing you arts headlines, interviews, and our live music calendar all throughout the summer. Today, we're starting to wind down our season with a special featuring the best of our 2024 interviews. We've been privileged to have a variety of wonderful and insightful artists, local and visiting to Kingston, stop by on the show, and we want to feature just some of the highlights to thank them for their time and encourage you to go back and listen to their full interviews if something catches your ear. We'll have all that plus your live music calendar coming your way this hour on The Curator, but for now, here are your arts headlines for the week. Continuing this month at the Tet until August 31st, we'll be contemplating Glaciers, a Dialogue, a solo exhibition from Jan Kabatov, curated by Jessica Turner. This exhibition will include photography, sculpture, paintings, video, audio, and even a virtual reality element using the Oculus headset, and footage from a documentary on the melting of the Athabasca Glacier, currently in production from this creative team. All ages are welcome to peruse this exhibition in the Tet Center Gallery, and it is free to do so, though exhibition hours may vary. There's also new events and exhibitions all the time, and you can learn more at tetcenter.org. Registration for fall term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops. This season includes adult classes in drawing, fiber and textile arts, mixed media, painting, printmaking, and sculpture, and youth programs for kids ages 6 to 16 and families. There are also a variety of 1 and 2 day workshops available for registration. Applications are also now open for the first annual KSOA member show, and members can submit pieces on their website now. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. At Modern Fuel Art Gallery, in partnership with the Union Gallery, is the Twofold Artist-in-Residence Program, led by co-directors Jill Glatt and Berlin Reed. This program provides an opportunity for local BIPOC artists to dive into their practices, collaborations, and discussions while having access to designated workspaces, professional development and mentorship, communal events, and a studio visit platform. This year's Artists-in-Residence are Shanique Pert, Alicia Udvari, Shamara Pert, and Samara Khan, who worked at the Union Gallery in July and now at Modern Fuel Art Gallery in August. For more information, visit uniongallery.queensu.ca. This and every summer Tuesday, you can head down to Springer Market Square for Salsa in the Square. From 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., enjoy a free beginner class, then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also every Wednesday summer evening in Springer Market Square, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs from 7 to 8 p.m. And every summer Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country music. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team, with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Coming up at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special screenings of 1963's The Birds on August 24th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th as part of the Summer Alfred Hitchcock Presents series. As well, 40th anniversary screenings of Purple Rain will be playing on August 24th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. And there are also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for all of your cinema adventures. Up first this hour on The Curator, we've got a clip from our May 9th Season 3 premiere. We were joined on the program by Fiona Fox and Ramira Price of Kingston's Youth Arts Festival, the Juvenis Festival, in the middle of their May run. I wanted to revisit the successes of this year's program and highlight the artistic platform Juvenis provides to local youth for your information going forward.
Yeah, so Juvenis Festival, kind of like Blue Canoe, is meant to give opportunities in the arts for youth and also allowing them opportunities to learn and explore the arts in a kind of collaborative environment as well.
What productions end up in the Juvenis Festival kind of depend on what gets pitched by like youth in the community. So this year we've had a like kind of young children musical, Honk Junior, then the teen musical, Lightning Thief, directed by Brea Pickard, and the adult show, Rent, directed by Dillian Chenier.
So our staple events are things we like to bring back every year. So that's included Battle of the Bands, Storefront Art Gallery, where I am right now, and Viva Voce. This year we're currently running just Battle of the Bands and Storefront Art Gallery. And then we had a pitch project, which is the film night. And then once we kind of have our project lineup, we start kind of training youth project leaders in the fall. And then we open submissions for these projects. So again, youth 30 and under, often it's 13 to 30, who can submit their work and apply to be in these events. So featured in the gallery or having a film in the film night. And that closes kind of mid-March. And then we start compiling everything and then the festival happens.
I have so many things. So Well, there's kind of two sides of it because there are so many dedicated volunteers that just want to try out theater, and there's no experience necessary for most of our programming. And so if you're not wanting to like pitch a project, but you'd like to act in one or help out backstage or learn more about the technical side or do camp counseling with our summer camps. All of that information is on our website, bluecanoeproductions.ca, and our social media page, which is Blue Canoe Pro, and then the Juvenis Festival as well has its own website and Instagram account. But also the second half of it is coming to support our programming. So going to check out the workshops, going to the shows. We try to do several free events throughout the year as well, like movie nights, and we're hoping to get started with trivia nights. And so there's lots and lots of different ways to get involved with Juvenis Festival and Blue Canoe.
Up next is our interview with artist and researcher Carly Milburn from our May 16th episode. Beginning in May at the Kingston School of Art, running in June at the Tet, and upcoming in September to the Union Gallery, Carly's project, Making Sense of Decolonization with Artificial Intelligence, Digital, and Conventional Art Creation, provides research workshops to Kingston residents ages 16 and up, using art in collaboration to open a discussion. Here she is with more on the project in case you want to catch the upcoming September iteration at the Union Gallery.
I think with, technology is ever evolving and we want to keep up with it, but we don't want to leave behind the conventional art creation part because it's so vital to not just like cultural continuity, but also community and also the sense of like, sometimes you just want to have tactile things in your hand. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to contribute both, indicating that both are equivalent in the way in which why they are, like, are important mm-hmm. to our community and like arts creation. And so I think with the digital component and also the conventional component, it'll kind of dive into this intersection of that art creation, whether it's digital or physical, is important. Basically, when I take the collective survey data, one of the questions it asks participants to provide keywords. And so those keywords then are anonymously uploaded into the software that I do, generating a collaborative image based on those provided terms. And so I look at this exercise at aiming to illustrate how AI can assist in visualizing or conceptualizing decolonization based on those human brainstorming. So based on those keywords.
Yeah.
So I'm not going into AI and say, tell me what it looks like. I'm saying, hey, based on these key words on decolonization and things that I've already taught it, essentially of like certain biases or like what I think decolonization looks like, based on those conversations with that AI that I've already done, and then putting those keywords in, it does produce an image. Does it produce the exact image that we want it to? I mean, not always, but it's something that we can visualize and see, okay, how can we, you know, this is what it could potentially look like. Because no one actually knows what decolonization looks like. And so that's also too why the workshops are so important, because we're actually forming a decolonized practice by like contributing as a collaborative community, making sure we have space for both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, making sure we're understanding the histories, making sure that we're honoring the land. And so there's just so much that goes into it of how can I decolonize this? How can I decolonize a space in which I'm talking about decolonization?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, too, we have to remember that I have to be open and I'm facilitating conversations to people and with people who don't understand the term, who might not know who Indigenous people are, who might not think Indigenous people are important. And so I'm kind of creating a space of, hey, you're allowed to ask those really hard questions.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to, like, not understand, because this is the space that we get to learn together.
Up next is our interview with acclaimed Canadian roots artist Kaya Cater, who released one of my personal favorite albums of the year, Strange Medicine, back in May. This piece originally aired on May 23rd, but I wanted to revisit a bit more about collaboration and touring and give another chance to recommend this release. But stay tuned, because we'll have your live music calendar coming up next.
You know, I was studying film composing, and so I was, watching a lot of films, seeing how folks, especially directors and writers, told stories through the screen, and how I, as a composer, was like helping to navigate the consumer through the film, and you know, like what emotion, you know, could they be feeling here, and like how does the music support that? And so that kind of naturally led me into finding songs or writing songs that wanted to tell stories, like maybe like little mini movies. And I fell in love with the orchestration classes that I did during my film composing program. And so I knew that I wanted like some orchestration on my album. But I hired folks who are, you know, that's what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I'd only taken a couple of classes. And so I could understand how difficult it was and wanted to hire someone whose specialty it was. And so, yeah, we decided to make the record a mix of, like, symphonic orchestration and also, like, really heavy groove stuff and drum stuff. And, and then made the stories the focus of the songs. It was a total dream come true. Those are all, you know, my heroes, but also especially with Alison and Aoife. Those are folks who I've known for quite a long time and who I've had a lot of admiration for and who I could even call friends. And I, you know, with this album, I think I had been coming from a place of like, seeing how well how well it worked, like especially on film productions, when there was a team working on everything, and how like one person can't make a film happen. There needs to be added skill sets from all different kinds of people, and you know, from all different kinds of experiences. And so I knew that I wanted to ask Aoife and Allison and Tosh to sing, because I picked each song really with their, not only their voices, but their careers and personal histories in mind. Like Aoife sang on The Witch, and The Witch is, you know, about the Salem witch trials partly, and Aoife's from Massachusetts, and Allison sang on In Montreal, and Allison is from Montreal, and Taj Mahal sang on Faidon, which is a story about Grenada, and he has a lot of ties to the Caribbean. So yeah, I just felt like not only their voices, but also them as people were like pretty perfect fits for the songs that they were on. And they were all just so wonderful to work with. Yeah, only positive experiences with them. It's been going really well. With this record, I've really been enjoying playing with lots of different people. I guess that's kind of the theme, is like, you know, to experiment and to improvise and to invite different people to like bring their interpretation of, you know, the music to the table and the way that they approach the songs. But for this tour, I'm going to have Allison Burek. They're a wonderful saxophonist, and they're going to play bass clarinet as well. And I also have an upright bass player, Andrew Ryan, who's American, so he's going to play bass and sing. And then I'm going to play guitar and banjo, and I think we're going to try to, you know, it's not going to be exactly like the record, because I can't bring an orchestra on tour. I wish I could. But I think we're going to play a lot with improvisation and texture and, you know, try to bring the moods of the songs to life.
For today's live music lineup, I'll be featuring shows from fantastic local and visiting acts fast approaching to Kingston. Keep it locked, because you won't want to miss these details. On Thursday, August 22nd, Juno Award-winning blues artist Garrett Mason is playing the Coven. Tickets are $25, and the show runs from 8 to 10 p.m. Also on Thursday, have a trippy night with the genre-fluid psychedelic band Holy Wow playing Hotel Wolf Island. This show runs from 8:30 to 11 p.m., and admission is by donation. On Friday, August 23rd, and every Friday from 7 to 10 p.m., Christopher Jackson and friends play Blue Martini for a rockin' good time. Admission is free. Also on Friday, the Coven hosts Doug Vanderhorden for classic rock and folk from 5 to 8 p.m., and admission is by donation. Also on Friday, put on your dancing shoes and head over to Hotel Wolf Island for Bill Coleman. Enjoy a night of improvised dance music from 7 to 9 p.m., and admission is free. Also on Friday, Punks Makes Noise presents One Way System, Breakout, The Ruffians, and The Massacre at the Mansion. The show starts at 8 p.m., and tickets are $30 at the door. Also on Friday, dust off your cowboy boots for a night of country at Next Church, featuring Hobby, Cody Allen James and Good Company, Customer Service, and Brock Mattson. The show is from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., and tickets are $15. Head down to the Spearhead Brewery on Friday night for an open mic featuring Bon Evans. Grab a brew and enjoy the music from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Also on Friday, head down to Springer Market Square for Tunes for Tales, celebrating 140 years of compassion with Kingston Humane Society. This show features Miss Emily, The Wilderness, and Evan Rotella. The show starts at 7 p.m. and is free to attend. Last but not least, on Friday, the Toucan hosts Kingston-based artists Future of Free, Willy Nilly, The Echoes, and Matt Almeida from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Hang out and have a drink and enjoy the night of live music for free. On Saturday, August 24th, Jeff Callery is playing a 5 to 8 p.m. show for free at the Cove Inn for fans of John Mellencamp, James Taylor, and Blue Rodeo. Also on Saturday, Spring by Spearhead Brewery for local singer-songwriter Mark Thackway from 2 to 5 p.m., and you can stay and catch the retrofits from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Also on Saturday, Tiernanog hosts a late-night set from 9 p.m. to midnight with Groove Infused. Enjoy R&B, funky rock, and soul from the local group, and admission is free. Last but not least, on Saturday evening, local bands Rated Blue and the Evan Jackson Band are playing the Toucan from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Grab a drink, hang out, and enjoy, as admission is free. On Sunday, August 25th, enjoy the Waterside Patio at the Cove Inn with live folk, jazz, and contemporary with Head Over Heels. The show runs from 5 to 8 p.m. and admission is by donation. Support the celebration of Little Cat's 60th anniversary with Cataraqui Conservation by heading down on Sunday, August 25th to see local musicians Sticky Henderson and Christopher Jackson. The show is held in the beautiful Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area from 1 to 4 p.m. and tickets are $20. This show is for all ages. Also on Sunday, come down to the Mansion Patio for local band Goldwing. This show runs from 4 to 6 p.m. and is free to attend. Also on Sunday, singer-songwriter with inspirations of folk, country, and rock, Tyson Sullivan, is playing the Spearhead Brewery. From 2 to 5 p.m., enjoy the music, and admission is free. Last but certainly not least, enjoy the music of ABBA at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 8:45 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. on Sunday evening. The Candlelight Tribute brings the true magic to your Sunday. Tickets are $35 for general admission. For more on these awesome local shows, you can visit kingstonlive.ca. In our music vein, Spring Reverb hit downtown Kingston May 30th to June 2nd. Here on The Curator, we were lucky enough to chat with two acts, local folk outfit Lake Porter and visiting Montreal singer-songwriter Corey Golkin. Here they are with more insights on their local music scenes.
Myself and my bandmate Johnny Porter, who have been friends for a few years now, we met in the studio through my partner Jay Emmons of the Glorious Sons, who also does production through his company 745 Music. So I met Johnny a few years ago, and in the fall of last year, kind of out of boredom, we started virtual songwriting. We're both big songwriters, and we didn't really have an outlet of anywhere to put it. Both of our other bands that we were in were kind of on the back burner. And so just out of kind of a hobby, we started sending guitar riffs and lyrics back and forth. And that went on for a few months until we had the makings of what could be an EP or even an LP if you really put together all the scraps that we were sending back and forth. And my partner Jay gave us the opportunity earlier this year in February to open for a band called Brother Elsie out of Nashville at the Broom Factory. And we didn't even have a band name at this point, so it was kind of exciting for us. And a friend of mine, Taryn McKenna, who actually works for Queens, who I had also been talking about working with musically, or at least we're working towards that, I asked her if she would join us. And she said yes right away, which was awesome. And we kind of hooked in Julia Beattie from Tiny Horse as well to play on the keys for that night. And it was just such a successful, fun night that we looked at each other. We're like, I think we should keep doing this. So it kind of came up unexpectedly, but it was pretty awesome to have it all come together so quickly. And from then we just started booking more shows. We've been in the studio. We have our first single coming up later this year. And yeah, we're just really excited to be making music in a really fun way for everyone to hear. Like I said, like my partner Jay Emmons has been in the music industry for a really long time, and I really did not even touch anything musically until we got together almost a decade ago. I was a big writer, but not so much a songwriter, and he helped me really direct my writing into more of lyrics than, let's say, poetry or something like that. But in terms of music, like, we go to shows all the time. I really love going to Musiki and going out to McKinnon at the farm and watching shows like that. But even like the little brewery pop-ups, all the live music, like, I've seen Taryn and her band Three's Company like all over town endlessly, and I just love watching music. So really, it's the community as a whole. Kingston is such a musical community. You can't really take too many steps without running into a live show. So it's just been a cumulative of all that.
We were chatting a little bit before this interview, and I was wondering, is there anything you can tell us about getting ready to release your first single?
oh man, it's been a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm lucky that we have an affiliation with 745 Music and a great management team who's working closely with us to make sure that this release, the song's called Oh Positive. It's super folky and it's got that country twang thanks to Taryn and all her amazing musical abilities and Johnny's songwriting and playing. And it's a really full track and it's really fun. And to everyone that I've already kind of given a sneak peek to, they're just like, oh man, I can't wait for this song to come out. So yeah, leading up to it, we're hoping to work with you guys a bit. We've got our social plans set. We've got content days booked. But yeah, like I said, it's a lot of work, but as someone who's, released songs in the past, it's kind of like really cathartic when you are just able to put something that you work so hard on out into the world. Jay Emmons and Steve Kirstein of 745 Music produced it for us, and Steve's mixing it right now, and it's just sounding so great. And it's probably the proudest I've been for anything musically that I've done. So really excited for it to hit the ears of the public.
Yeah, it's interesting. My sound has changed a lot over the years. It's funny. Like, dark folk, I think, is a description that I was using for my last album, but that's come a long way. And I've come, I think, to think of myself as genre nonconforming.
Oh, I love that.
So fun. Definitely fits with my non-binary identity in many ways. I released an album back in the fall called Half Moon, and I set out to kind of write a rock record, and I think it's about as close to a rock album as I'm going to get, but I think since releasing it, it's been described as art rock, it's been described as synth pop, it's described as folk or folk rock, so no boundaries over here. Yeah, I mean, the Montreal scene is, there's so much going on in the Montreal scene. I think there's the biggest feature, I would say, of the Montreal scene, or the thing that I think sets it apart from most other places, is that it is divided linguistically. So there is a distinct Francophone scene and there is a distinct Anglophone scene. And I do find myself more in the Anglophone scene. It's like kind of difficult actually to traverse those boundaries sometimes. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about that is that the Anglophone scene, in a sense, is a bit of a small world. But I think because it's a small world, there ends up being more overlap and more exchange. And I think that is kind of what lends why, like, Montreal sounds do tend to be a little bit more cross-genre compared to maybe other places. And there's more innovation because we've kind of had to rely on each other in a bit of a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do wonder if that's kind of a part of it. There are so many different subgenres happening. There's a really strong experimental scene in Montreal. And I think that has been born out of, I would say, Cheap Rent, which is unfortunately no longer as accessible as it used to be. It's, I would say, Montreal is still a cheaper city than most places, but it is getting increasingly expensive. And not to start this off with such a pessimistic viewpoint, but I do worry about how that is affecting the music scene and how the music scene in Montreal and that kind of experimental feeling or scene might be dying. Sure. I mean, there's so much that I would like to do. Back in April, I performed my first shows in Europe. I traveled to Estonia to play at Tallinn Music Week, which was an incredible experience. And I really hope to make it back to Europe and to that scene. There's just so much going on, so much amazing music going on in the world. And I just want to experience it all. I really like building an arc in my set and bringing people on a bit of a journey, and building moments of catharsis. I don't talk a lot. I used to. It was something I used to do as in my folk days, and now I just kind of like to let the music flow through me as much as possible. So I just, my goal is always to have a spiritual experience on stage and try to bring that into the audience. It's not always possible, but I just want people to feel immersed in whatever's going on, and that we can all kind of go on this journey together.
Up next, Kingston held the Festival of Live Digital Art back in June, and we were joined by Lucy Simic and Stephen O'Connell, the artists behind Lucy AI, a moving and personal interactive piece on display at the festival. They provided interesting insights on the road to getting a digital piece like this off the ground in our June 13th episode. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. So the project is called Lucy AI. I guess we've been working on it for the last year or two. I mean, maybe the idea was kind of floating around a little bit longer than that. But it's a collaboration between, primarily Lucy, but also Bluemouth, with a Montreal-based artificial intelligence developer, Reimagine AI. David Usher, who is the founder of Reimagine AI, is a longtime friend. Lucy, David, and I all went to school together 3 decades ago at Simon Fraser University, studying modern dance. In 2018, Lucy was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And upon hearing that news, David was very, touched and concerned and moved and started to wonder how we could use AI as a way to poetically and sort of visually represent the life and the archive, the history of Lucy's work as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically, an audience member enters into a gallery. There's projections on all 4 walls, and they're they're invited to ask questions of we call it the oracle, but it's it's not an avatar. It's kind of a nebulous visualization, like a video, that when you ask it a question, it engages you in conversation and starts to move in the way that in relationship to what it's like the question it's answering. And meanwhile, the visuals around on the screens, like the other 3 walls, will reflect in some way the conversation that's being asked. So if it's like, oh, have you ever traveled, there'll be images of cities or places that I have been. Yeah, and then every so often there's almost like that avatar kind of goes away, that oracle goes away. And there are moments of just memories to music and images that are projected on all 4 screens of the gallery.
A part of the development of the piece was working with David's team at Reimagine AI. And so Lucy had to answer hundreds of questions about, you know, basic things about her life, her family, but also philosophical or artistic. But just basically what we're trying to do is recreate a brain. And so and with those questions, they feed the AI into a closed large language model. So it's not scraping from the internet. It's just really what it's learning from Lucy and trying to sort of recreate Lucy's memory in some way. And then Lucy also did about 3 hours of voice recordings. Then we fed that into a program. And so now the AI speaks and thinks with Lucy's voice and with her memories. And then depending on what the person invited is engaging, what they're saying, that's connected to tag videos and sound content that we've created over the last 25 years as creators of Bluemouth. And so, so those kind of, depending on what the conversation is happening, those memories or those images and those sounds will be reflected on the walls. And the interstitial moments that Lucy was talking about that happen periodically through the installation are more like daydreams. They're a little bit more immersive. Those are sort of still, they're used of the AI, but they're things that we have
recorded and pre-written.
Yeah, and sort of have composed a little bit. So it sort of moves in between these daydreams and these relational moments with people engaging directly with Lucy AI.
Yeah, they're more like little movies.
Right.
That 360, like immersive Van Gogh, but of our images that we've chosen and reflect in some ways. There are several like themes. Like one is we call it the street in my heart, and it's basically a dream of all the people that I love living on one long street. So it kind of has a poetic rendering of who my neighbors are and how the creativity flows between the different houses. And, you know, another one is the day that I was diagnosed and being in the ICU and feeling the sort of loneliness of that and the shock and then figuring out how to overcome that
and also one thing, it became what we're trying to do. I mean, we'll discover a lot when this is our first public showing at Fulda, is that it's more of an opportunity for the audience or people coming in to reflect. So when Lucy AI, I have to distinguish between the two. Mm-hmm. When Lucy AI has a recollection about these are the people on the street in my heart, and then it sort of ends with asking the viewer, who are the people who would inhabit the street in your heart, who are the people who are close to you, and sort of asking or inviting the participant to you know, they press a button and they talk back to the AI and to create a conversation and an opportunity for a reflection. So it's hopefully less performative and more reflective, but we'll see how that all comes together.
Peace.
Yeah, and I came to Fulda maybe 7 years ago. I don't know if that was the first or second iteration of the festival, and just being in the environment and having an opportunity to share ideas and be in conversation and just listen in on discussions that people are talking through the process. I really like the fact that it's alpha, beta, go, and the fact that to be able to get insight into works at various stages of development and to ask questions and see what kinds of curiosities the other artists are having. So I think I'm looking forward to that, having conversations and also having really deep conversations about AI, like where the hell are we going with all this stuff, right? It's really, we're still trying to grapple with. We had a conversation with a friend the other day who was asking us about the project, about how do you approach AI, you know, responsibly. And, you know, so I think someone made the analogy, I was watching a podcast about, you know, the the Manhattan Project on the edge of the atomic bomb, and sort of bringing people in and realizing the power of what they're about to do. It's paradigm shifting and the immense responsibility in making something new. And so if we feel being artists and be able to participate in the conversation about where is AI taking us, and is this something that is destructive? Is this something that's creative and positive? I think it's potentially a little bit of both, but it feels really exciting to be invited by David and his company to engage in that conversation and to start ask questions in a meaningful way. And David's a really smart, responsible guy. So his company, I have a lot of respect for, and I think they're doing it very responsibly.
Last but certainly not least, we were joined ahead of this year's Skeleton Park Arts Festival by Adam Sturgeon of Rock Outfit Status Non-Status. This originally aired on our June 20th episode, and we had an interesting chat about the way creativity and collaboration changes as life goes on. Take a listen.
Sure. I'm the Adam Neme Edition of Kazdishkin Zibi Dunjabad Neme Dodum. My name's Adam Sturgeon. I live in London, Ontario. Sturgeon Clam, my last name is Sturgeon, makes sense. I have a band called Status on Status. It's been a band for quite a long time with a sort of a revolving cast of characters sort of helping me try to tell my story and just make music. We have quite a large band. We should be a six piece for this band. My longtime collaborator, Kirsten Palm, has been with me pretty much the whole time. She is a mom of two, so sometimes she takes some time off to raise her family, but she'll be joining us this summer. My neighbor, Jess O'Neill, who has her own amazing music. She's a nurse. Eric Lorenzo is, he's like my little brother. He's 10 years younger than me, and he plays drums, and he's been playing in the band since he was like 18 years old. So we've really watched him grow a lot. We'll also be joined by Matthew Wewell, who helped us record our last record, and a very good friend, Coco Colleen Collins, who is also a First Nations person. She's Odawa. You know what? It's pretty hard these days because we have people from all over the country getting together. So we usually kind of just gather, you know, the day before a show and kind of let loose. But we've had a few practices lately, actually. So that's been nice. But yeah, it gets really hard sometimes, especially as we get a little older and people are having to have their side jobs and stuff like that to make it all work. Whereas maybe when we were a lot younger, we just live in the van and eat crackers together.
Yeah.
But for that reason, it does feel really nice when we get together. It's a special time. Yes, folks are all over the place, but we're all very kindred spirits. So really, we just like each other's company.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really important part of it. You know, you're only as good as you are off stage, and you want to make sure that everyone gets along and feels good together. And so we kind of prioritize that these days and make sure that we're really sensitive to everybody's kind of needs and lives and recognize that there's a lot at stake or a lot at play just in everyone's day to day. And then I think that that's what makes us play well. But yeah, we just like the travel. We're really lucky. And I think that a lot of us, if we weren't playing music, we wouldn't get the same types of opportunities that we do. For example, this summer we get to go up to Dawson City. And that's just not a place that you would frequent, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Having the opportunity, it can be very challenging to make music, especially after the pandemic, but it's also such a privilege to share ourselves and travel and explore the country, the world. It's an important part of it as well.
That does it for us this week on the Kingston Curator, but you can check out this and all past episodes on our CFRC podcast feed, including the full interviews of all the clips you just heard. We'll be back next Thursday for our summer finale, Thursday at 2 p.m. That was the Kingston Curator, and this is Lauren Tucker, signing off on 101.9 FM CFRC. Have a fantastic weekend.
Saturday, August 24th, it all begins again. The ecstasy.
The stadium comes alive. Alex Freakin is hype. I'm hype. I love football.
The exhilaration.
And there he goes. That man is bad. That man is fast. And he is up over the 50, still on his feet.
The heartbreak.
And Laurier wins on an absolute heartbreaker at Richardson Stadium.
The pain.
No!
All part of a long journey to football immortality for the Queen's Gaels. And on Saturday, August 24th, in Windsor, Ontario, it all begins again. 3:45 p.m. pregame show, 4 p.m. kickoff, and there's only one place you can catch all the action.
This is Queen's Football on CFRC. We'll be right back.
No Static, every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC. Every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. You never know what you're gonna get. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. Hosted by your friends Mike and Chance. No Static. No Static. CFRC 101.9 FM. CFRC.ca. CFRC.ca/no_static.
Left home for WAS in 75. Left my friends, my folks behind. To lay down ties and rails, strong back, weak mind. 42 years, time flies, don't you ever doubt it. To the lucky logger, raise a glass, I'll try to talk about it. These logging trains were on these tracks since 1917. From steam to diesel locomotives, through good years, through lean, we were the last in North America, still hauling logs by rail. Along came 2017, I recall each sad detail. I'm just trying to move ahead, trying to put this whole thing to bed. This is the last refrain for the last train. What is there left to say after the most despairing day? This is the last refrain for the last train. A coupler broke, 11 loaded cars just rolled away. The plans we had in place in case both went south that day. They quickly threw the switch, designed to purposely derail. It was spiked down good, but the base was rotted, that's what made it fail. They called down to the guys below on that fateful morning. You can't rely on radios, they never got that warning. It's true, we prayed they were not there. What happened next still chokes me up. I never had a prayer. Still, I'm just trying to move ahead, trying to put this whole thing to bed. This is the last refrain for the last train. What is there left to say after the most despairing day? This is the last refrain for the last train. No one knows where God's love goes, like old Lightfoot wrote. Three good men died, our train on its side, the lump still in my throat. Two like me, soon to be free, winding down to pack it in. One fine young man just starting out, his whole life just beginning. To hell with your Murphy's Law, I can't stop seeing. I saw this is the last refrain for the last train. What is there anyone can say after the most despairing day, this is the last refrain. For the last. Helps you relax and unwind after a busy day. Ah! Rock and Radio Show with Gino Alash. Hard rock and heavy metal. Every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Stay heavy.
Lived in the valley. just in time. And all my old friends back in the West Side live so far, so far away. Always want to please let myself off the